And we talked about the rich young ruler. And we talked about the fact, the title of the message series that we're getting into is called The Invitation. Is The Invitation. And so Jesus comes up to Peter and invites him onto a journey, right? He invites him into his life, invites him to follow me, is what Jesus says. And the invitation is follow me. And so then Jesus is doing his thing, and he finds this guy, and this rich young ruler comes up to him. And it's funny, the rich young ruler talks about how good he is. Peter acknowledges his whole sinfulness, right? Go away from me, Jesus. I am a sinner. But the rich young ruler says, hey, and Jesus says, what do I have to do, you know? And Jesus says, well, you know the commandments, you know? List out the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, hey, I've kept those since I was young. And Jesus said, one thing you lack, sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. And even in all of his religiosity, right, he was lacking that one thing. And Jesus, he turned away Jesus' invitation to follow me. And we talked about what would the story of the rich young ruler, and we talked a couple of weeks ago, we said, you know what the name of the rich young ruler is? His name. Yeah, neither do I. You know why? Because he decided to turn down Jesus' invitation. We know Peter. We know what he went on to do. He offered him into, and we talked about, so what was Jesus offering him, those two guys, into? Was it just simply a Bible study for a group of guys? Was it like a 12-person small group that Jesus was inviting them into? Was it just a religious affiliation? Was it a civic organization? We are the do-gooders. Jesus and the do-gooders, right? Was it a good works group? Was it a feeding program? Was it a rebellion? It was more than those things. It incorporated a lot of those things, but it was more than those things. Jesus was offering these guys an invitation to a bigger story. A larger story we talked about last week. Just like those little kids from London offered... was entered into a bigger story in Narnia, right? I have to enter into my nerddom. It's Nick Fury asking those cast of heroes that we saw right up here this morning. It was them offering those guys into a bigger story, right? And we talked about last week, it was a cry of the Amazonian princess and Wonder Woman that caused her to leave her island and go. And what I love about that story is I love how it wasn't like even reluctant. She was all in, man. She was like, there's a bigger thing going on, and I want to be a part of it. We love those stories because it's part of our own story. It's part of who we are. We love those stories. So Jesus is inviting us into a larger story. It was bigger than just fishing for Peter. It was a bigger story. Matter of fact, it's the story of all stories. They get invited to the kingdom, and Jesus teaches them and shows them. And as they are part of the kingdom, as they get part of Jesus' inner circle, they realize what the larger story is. And what the larger story is all about the kingdom. They hear Jesus over and over preaching about the kingdom. Matter of fact, one scripture says that Jesus says, this is why I was sent for the kingdom. It's an invitation to the kingdom. And then we talked about what does that kingdom look like? Well, that's it's the question that John the Baptist asked when he sent his disciples. John the Baptist was in prison and sent his disciples and says, hey, go ask Jesus if he's the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus' response was this. He said, go back and report to John what you have seen, that the blind receive sight, that the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. It's a release of the captives as part of the kingdom. So what does that look like for us? God wants us to be part of the kingdom of God and pushing. Jesus said, let your kingdom come here. Our prayer is, God, let your kingdom come here like it is in heaven. Amen. And that's freedom. Jesus has freedom to the captives. So I'm going to talk a little bit more this morning about what is the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom, the true kingdom of God, will be established on earth when Jesus returns. The time that the kingdom is established will be after Christ's return and return to earth. Follow me. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says this, "And the seven angels sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.'" That is the true kingdom of God, when Jesus reigns forever and ever. This is the age, the Bible teaches us that when Jesus comes back, He teaches us that there will be a day where there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Isn't that awesome? And man, it is awesome. And listen, you know, I feel, you know, sometimes there's some timidity about, let me just say this real quick. There's some timidity about the new heaven and new earth. It's like, you know, you read and you hear people talk, it's like, oh, we're going to be singing like, it's going to be like a forever church service. Oh, dear God. Why am I not happy about that? And there's like this thing on the inside. You're laughing because it's true. Like on the inside, I like church and I like being around people, but oh man, like that's really long. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Sometimes you've felt like in here that you've been in church forever and ever and ever. I want you to know that there is a new heaven and a new earth. Think about this. What you enjoy about earth will still be around. It'll be glorified. It'll be all better. Like what is like my favorite tree, right? The dogwood tree. What does a glorified dogwood tree look like? I think it looks great now. What does a sunset over an ocean look like? What do mountains look like in a glorified form? Right? Will I be able to walk on water when I'm in heaven? Yeah, right? Like, what does that look like? You and I'll know each other, right? Well, maybe in like a million years, we'll find each other and go, "Hey, let's have a Hope Church reunion. Remember that when we were in Hope Church?" And like half of you guys will show up. It'll be like old times. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke, kind of. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and Jesus will reign, and there'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more sorrow. The enemy will had been thrown into his little pit forever and ever. There'll be no more deception anymore. There'll be no more crying. It'll be all awesome. I just want to encourage you. Heaven is more than just a giant worship service forever. Remember, God created, before the fall, God created earth for you and for me. Just like it was. And Jesus was he just kind of hung out with us. Don't you love that? That's the kind of heaven that the Bible speaks of. And that's the kind of heaven that I can really get excited. Oh yeah, there'll be times where I'm going to be doing some long time worshiping. Right? But there are also going to be some awesome times where I'm going to be hanging out with the saints, man. It's going to be awesome. But that time, there is no more sadness, no more sorrow, because the full kingdom of God will be here. With no enemy. The full kingdom of God. That's why, see, that makes more sense. Jesus says, "Hey, God, let your kingdom come here now, as it is in heaven." So it's almost like we prepare for the kingdom then by living according to the kingdom rules now. We prepare for kingdom living then by living for the kingdom now. So what is that kingdom? What does that look like? How does this kingdom come from heaven? How do we live the kingdom life here as it is in heaven, like Jesus said? I'm going to go back to the basics this morning because we need the basics. John chapter 3 says this in verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, let's stop here a second. Notice that it says that he came to him at night. Notice that it says he was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. This guy was kind of some guy of prominence, right? But yet he's like, I want to kind of check this out on the down low, right? I want you to kind of feel this moment. He's kind of checking Jesus out on the, because he doesn't really want to do it in broad daylight, right? He came out by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher. Like, hey, we know. Like, not publicly or anything. Like, this is that night. We know you're a teacher. That you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Qualification number one. To enter into the kingdom, you must be this word, born again. Right? Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus' last, his part of the Great Commission, says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Listen, the way to get into the kingdom, and Paul said it like this. He said, the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. They're not understood by natural minds. They're spiritually discerned. So we need to understand that as we're on the kingdom, as we're entering into the kingdom, this is a spiritual kingdom. It's a real, physical, real kingdom. But it is first a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And the way we enter into this spiritual kingdom, the way we enter into this kingdom is by that phrase that says, be born again. Be born again. That's the way we enter into the kingdom. John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him, right, would have everlasting life. Born again. Born again. It's interesting that he says you must be born by water and by the Spirit. What does that mean? Born by water and the Spirit. Well, by water, we know, right, that when a woman gets ready to give birth, her water breaks, right? So when Jesus, that's why he says, whoever is born of water and Spirit cannot enter, for which is born of flesh is flesh. That's what he's talking about. Born a physical birth. Physical birth. As a human, that's qualification number one. You need to be born, physically born, right? We're there. It's really basic, bottom line, basic. By the way, happy birthday tomorrow, Luanda. Luanda's birthday is tomorrow. I have to get that out because every time I look at her, I go, that's her birthday tomorrow. So sometimes ADD people, you just need to say what you're thinking. Other times you need to not say what you're thinking. So he says, born of water, but then it says you have to be born of the Spirit. And this is what he's talking about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, the truth is, well, you know what? It's right here. Well, the truth is, when Adam and Eve sinned, we became spiritually dead. If you take our class on spirit life, you understand that we are a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. I am first a spirit being. I have a soul, which was my mind, my thinking, my intellect, right? My emotions. My wife loves Van Morrison. Because that's the way she works it out in her soul, right? We like certain music, and that's in our soul. But also, we have flesh. It's our temple, right? It's who we are. It's not who we are. It's a physical form. It's when you look in the mirror. That's your flesh, right? Your body. But we are first a spirit being. See, before we became born again, if you will, our spirits were dead to God. They were dead to God. It was not alive to God. That's why they say, hey, the things of the Spirit, they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. Don't go trying to rationalize stuff in the Spirit with people that don't understand the Spirit of God. Right? I have much more to say about this, but I'm not going to say it. But the truth is, so we must be born again. So when we ask Jesus, right, behold, I make all things new, what he's talking about is I didn't get big muscles, right? I didn't look like I've been working out forever or anything when I got born again. My body stayed the same. My mind, my intellect, all that stuff stayed the same. But when I ask Jesus to come in my heart, make me new, forgive me of my sin, he paid the price so that my spirit man, who was once dead, has now become alive to God. Right? My spirit has become alive to God. And that happens. That's what it means when you're born of flesh, and it means when you're born of the Spirit. I am reborn. My inner man, my spirit man was reborn, who once was dead, now is alive to God. And now I can enjoy, because the things of the kingdom for right now are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. Does that make sense this morning? Good. For those three. Awesome. Watch this. John chapter 3, verse 17. It's the scripture that right after John 3:16. Duh. It says, for God did not send his world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might become saved. Listen, you know, we talk so much about Jesus' death on the cross. And I know this is, you're like, oh man, this is like we need to understand this stuff is not common knowledge anymore. It's not common knowledge anymore. We just go to church and we just hear about the goodness of God. We forget that, hey, listen, I need to be born again. Because that term born again has now got this weird thing attached to it, right? But it's the central part of the gospel. Being born again, that I was once dead in my sin, now I've been made alive to God, right? That I've been made right with God. It's part of the kingdom. This is all part of the kingdom. Remember, part of the kingdom is, hey, the blind see, the deaf hear, the gospel is preached to the poor. The setting free of people is part of the kingdom. Right? Remember, all these things are what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will be added to you. Right? Seek first the kingdom. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to do. And don't worry about all your provision. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. He says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's the word of faith which we preached. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, is rich to those who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what does that do with us? You're like, David, man, I got this. All right, I got it. Be saved. I got it. Like, I remember, like, 20 years ago, I went down this church, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I got this. This is like elementary stuff. But let me just say, watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. He's talking about your spirit, man. All things have been made new. Right? I was once dead, but now I'm alive in Christ. It's been made new. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us, key phrase, reconciled us to Him through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ, watch this, reconciling, there's that word again, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let us pray. Thank you. And it's given to us, and it's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Easy word of reconciliation. Thank you so much for that. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. This is you and I. God is pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. I could preach for weeks on that scripture. That God was in Christ, right? Was reconciling the world to Himself. Now God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We say it like this at Hope Church. Hope Church exists to draw people closer to God. That's who we are. Hope Church exists to draw people closer to God. God has given us. He's given us. What is the work of the kingdom? Reconciling the world to Him. Why do you go do trunk or treat? To reconcile the world to Him. Why do you do spirit life? To reconcile the world to Him. Why do we have spiritual gifts? So that we can have fun with them at church? No, no, no. It's so that, listen, so we can reconcile the world to Him. We can draw people closer to Him. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, all those spiritual gifts are not just there so we can experiment with them at church. They're so that we can reconcile the world to Him. And we have made it. We've lost our focus. That God was in Christ reconciling the world. Aren't you glad that God in Christ reconciled you to Him? Aren't you so glad that it's not of your own works of righteousness or works of all the things that you've tried to do and all the ways you've tried to be right with God, but it's the work of Christ that worked in that in you, and God through Him and His sacrifice reconciled Him and you? That's the gospel. It's the message of the kingdom. See, when God shows up, right? When God rules and reigns in the eternity, we're talking like in the future tense, there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's no more addiction, there's no more strife, there's no more stuff because the enemy is banished forever. So what are we doing here on the earth now? Jesus said, let your kingdom come. But we should pray, excuse me. Jesus said, we should pray. That God, your kingdom come now, like it is in heaven. We're just going to practice for a little while what it's going to look like in heaven. Because what does He do? He gave us authority. He gave us His name. So that we can push back the spirit of darkness. We can push back the everything that holds us back. We can push back all the things that life comes. Like God is continually wanting to give us life, and He's wanting to give your coworkers life. He's wanting to give that person at the supermarket. He's wanting to give, do we call them supermarkets anywhere? The grocery stores. He's that person at the grocery store. He's wanting to give them life. He wants to give your neighbors life. And you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation, that God is in Christ reconciling the world to Him. And He's given us that word. It's in us. It's all kingdom focused. And He told Peter and He told all those 12, let me just tell you something. Let me just get real straight this morning. He told those guys, listen, the kingdom is more important than what you're doing, Peter. Hey, and all your stuff, Simon the Zealot, right? And all your stuff trying to overthrow the government and trying to kick Rome out of Jerusalem. And all your stuff, what I'm calling you into, Simon, is more important than what you're doing. It's kingdom business. It's the most important thing you'll be a part of. And that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Am I telling you to quit your job? No. I'm telling you, please. Somebody said, please. No. No, but what I'm telling you is the kingdom. God has you in your position, at your job, in your subdivision, wherever you're at, to advance the kingdom wherever you go. Wherever I go, I can advance the kingdom. Wherever I go, what does that mean? Righteousness. Well, we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. What's the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Wherever I go, I can push forward righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's in me. The kingdom of God is within you. And God says, I want you to... And what does that all look like? It looks like everything that you do. It means the way you raise your kids is kingdom business. How you train up your kids in a way you should go, and when they get older, they won't depart, is part of kingdom business. Like husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Women, see that you respect your husband and honor them. It's part of kingdom business. It's producing stable homes. Why? So that we can be happy. No, it's so that the kingdom of God can be pushed forward. Because too long the enemy has tried to destroy families. Too long the enemy has tried to destroy your influence at your job. And too often the enemy has tried to shut you down with addiction. And God says, I got a bigger story. I got a bigger story than you can possibly imagine. What Obi-Wan told Luke, you have taken your first step into a bigger story. It's time for us to take our next step into that bigger story. It changes the way you see your coworkers. Jesus looks out over over Jerusalem, and he weeps over the city. He said, long have I, and it's so beautiful the way he says it. He says, so long I have wanted to gather you in. Right? Because God's gathering, wants to gather people into himself. So long I've wanted to gather you in, but you've rejected me. And he weeps over the city. And then he says something really interesting. He turns to his disciples and say, pray for the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the field. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus wept over the city. And he looked at his disciples and saw that his disciples didn't see people like he saw people. And his answer to that was pray. His answer to it was pray. The Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. You know what happens? You know what happens to someone when they start praying for your coworkers? You know what happens when you start praying for the people that you work with? You know what happens when you start praying for others to come to know God? The very thing, if you pray for laborers to come, the very thing that you pray, because they prayed, I believe that those guys prayed. You know what happened? Those guys became the laborers in the very field that Jesus wept over. It's amazing what happens as we pray. It's amazing what happens as we pray for others. Your heart gets melted. You see people the way you see people with different eyes. He says, I don't look at people, like Paul says, I don't look at people in their flesh anymore. What is he saying? I look to see if they're a part of the kingdom or not. Because he's kingdom minded. And we have can be so discouraging, right? Because the minute you mention church and Jesus in our culture anymore, people are like, oh, yeah, one of those. Right? Come on. We need to make sure we understand the culture that we live in and not live in this false idea of this, I don't know. Look, there's a whole lot of stuff that we need to do to reinvent ourselves, right, as a church. And maybe it's just what Jesus said. Hey, the greatest commandment is love. What if the church was not made? What if the church? Remember, Jesus said, "Hey, God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, yeah. Right? Yeah. What if that was the message of the church? Yeah. What if the message of the church is, hey man, there's goodness. God is inviting you into his own kingdom. Hey, you're jacked up. Welcome to the jacked up club. So am I. Right? Because listen, we need to accurately represent him, and God's like pouring love on people. That's why he sent Jesus. It's not like, you need to quit your cussing around me. You need to stop. That smoke just bothers me. That you know, I can't believe you listen to that music around me. It may get on me. Because if you start cussing around me, I might start cussing around. Man, if that's you, grow up. Amen. Become strong in Jesus. Listen, you don't influence me. Do you know who's in me? The greater one is in me. You tell all your dirty jokes, I can't believe my ears have been polluted. I'm going to be seeing terrible stuff for days. Man, know who you are in Jesus. You know what? When I walk in a room, I have more effect on them than they're going to have on me. Bless God. Because the love of God lives on the inside of me. And I don't condemn people. I'm offering salvation. Jesus offers the woman. Oh, Jesus, oh, that clock. I'm going to be able to preach forever in heaven. That's what I'm going to be able to do in heaven. And yeah. Jesus goes up to the woman who is caught in the very act of adultery. If you've heard me preach very long, you'll know this is one of my favorite scenes of Jesus. Offers a woman who's caught in the very act of adultery. Guilty. And everybody's like, well, where's the man? He's not dealing with a man. He's dealing with a woman who is caught in the act of adultery. Guilty. And all those guys around them were right, according to the law. Stoner. What should we do? Jesus says, you without sin, you cast the first stone. All of a sudden, there's a rock quarry around them. And Jesus, watch Jesus. He's so awesome. This is how you should be with your coworkers. This is how you should be with the people around you that don't know Jesus. Jesus bends and goes, hey, where are your accusers? She's guilty of adultery. Guilty. Where are your accusers? I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. She didn't even ask for forgiveness. She didn't even kneel down to say the sinner's prayer. Jesus offered her forgiveness right where she was at. He offered her the keys to the kingdom. What is Jesus doing? He's pushing back darkness. Lady, I know you're broken. I know you're hurting. I know there's bigger things going on than just what you did. I'm offering you forgiveness. I'm offering you life. Now, whether she takes it is up to her. Whether she goes and sins more is up to her. What are we supposed to do? Go and offer love. Go and offer Jesus' love to people. Don't judge people. Go and offer God's love to people. And guys, I think the way Jesus told us to do it by love is probably going to be more effective. And not only that, you're dealing with people's souls, their eternal destiny. Why are we going to push other people away out of an eternal heaven because they reject Jesus? Because of our own, I mean, we got to get this right. We got to get this right. Because there's too much riding on it. As the old preachers used to say, there is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that beautiful? That's a beautiful word, isn't it? Reconciliation. Don't you love reconciliation? Don't you love reconciliation? Don't you love when two people are at odds and all of a sudden they reconcile? Reconciliation is a beautiful word. Let's all stand together. What are we doing? When we do this, we're pushing forward the kingdom of God. Come on, come just play. I want you to just close your eyes as we close. And just close your eyes as and understand that it's even in the smallest things when we push back the kingdom of darkness. As we go today and we visit with John today, you know what we're doing? Pushing forward the kingdom. Pushing forward the kingdom. It's kingdom business. Well, there's nobody going to get saved, and you know what? We're pushing forward the kingdom. Bringing life, bringing just joy. As William Davis calls it, the kind of the gift of yourself, right? For other people. The gift of you that God's put inside you. So maybe this morning there's some reevaluation, life reevaluation. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the kingdom and pushing forward the kingdom, pushing forward righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. The cry of heaven in Isaiah chapter 6 was, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah's reply was, "Here am I, send me." Man, you don't have to be super educated. You don't have to know a whole lot of the Bible. But you can walk in love. And when opportunity comes around for you to vocalize your faith, you can do that in a non-judgmental, loving way. We're going to do a song. And as we do this, we're going to close out the service. But I want to open this altar up to you. If you want to come down and just kind of pray this, maybe some things through before you leave. And just say, you know, here am I, send me. Maybe that kind of attitude. Or maybe you're already just doing it. It's all good. Or maybe you just want to sit in your chair and you can do it right there. But let me just encourage you, do it alone, just you and God. And this is the way we'll dismiss. Jessica's going to sing, and then when she starts singing, you're really kind of dismissed. You can leave, but maybe if you need to just spend some time with God and kind of pray some of this through just for a moment, I think that would be good. God, we thank you. God, thank you, God, for the kingdom. Thank you, God, for the kingdom invading our lives. Thank you, God. And Father, help us to walk this out. Help, God, what matters to you matter to us. God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to come down forward if you want.